Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. And we're going to be heading right over to the other building for our fellowship right after the service. So we're going to get right to eating right at 12 o'clock and have a great time over there. And everyone's welcome to stay for that. And something I did want to mention that we're just want to give an update with the sermon audio. We've been on there. Now we've had over 1,000 sermon downloads since we've been on there. We're 1,030 almost. And you can help with that you are on social media and Facebook and things like that, that if you would like to, and maybe a sermon was a blessing to you, you can go right to the sermon audio website and you can share that and put that in your Facebook status. Then other people will have access to it and take a listen to it. So I just wanted to make you aware of that. So to spread the news around, be proud that you go to Tabernacle Baptist Church, amen. And spread around, and you're able to share that very easily and quickly. So I encourage you to do that. And welcome to our streaming audience this morning. And letting our streaming audience know, we will not have service tonight, and we will not have be streaming service Wednesday night. We apologize for that, but we'll be back on Sunday morning next week. All right, Proverbs chapter 20 this morning. And we're going to be looking at an area the Lord has burned my heart with, and I don't think it's a problem that we have in our church necessarily, but something that we need to be reminded of from time to time. We're looking at Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 1. And this morning, we're going to be preaching on alcohol and what God says about it, what God thinks about it. And there is a great deception going on in regards to alcohol in our land. And this deception is taking place among lost people. It's also taking place among saved people. There's deception going on in churches. And many churches have taken a soft stance on alcohol. And teaching has become lax, and we're no longer basing our opinions upon what God thinks about it in His Word, but more what many theologians think about it. Unfortunately, if you don't know why from the Bible, why we stand against these things, as well, I'm against it because you're against it, Pastor. Well, that's well and good, but you must know from God's Word why you're against it. Because if you're not sure from God's Word, then the devil has an inroad in your life to deceive you and say, well, God thinks that's okay. And this morning, in a message entitled Destruction by the Bottle, maybe you've seen the popular beer slogan, especially a lot of them are on the billboards around our town. I think it's for Bud Light. What does it say? Friendship by the Bottle. Well, I'm going to submit this morning, we're going to be looking at alcohol, that's destruction by the bottle. If we could all stand together for the reading of God's Word, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 1. One of several verses we're going to read this morning, but one that really epitomizes what goes on, that we're deceived by alcohol, and is it okay with God or not? And what are its consequences? We're going to be looking at those this morning. And God's Word says in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raving, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray, dear Lord, that you give us your wisdom. We want to be wise, dear Lord. I pray if any here listening, they're deceived by alcohol. Maybe they're listening by way of the streaming this morning, and they're deceived by this alcohol, Lord. And maybe they've been taught it's okay all their life. Maybe they don't think there's anything wrong with it. Oh, Lord, I pray that they would have ears to hear this morning, and that they would be a doer of thy word and not a hearer only. And Lord, some sin in ignorance. Lord, I pray that this message would give us the biblical basis, your basis, that we need. And Lord, I pray that you would use it in a mighty way. And Lord, that this message would change lives. Maybe some who have been overcome by alcohol, Lord, that this message and your word, which never turns void. I'm not the worker of miracles, Lord, but you are. You're able to save those out of alcoholism and out of depression and out of the hole they're in. You're able to save them, Lord. I pray that you would give us that wisdom and that instruction today and work in hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Destruction by the bottle. We've seen many slogans for beer, and I think if we went around the room and said, well, what are three or four beer slogans that you know? Most of us would. Maybe I don't think many of us, or if any of us, drink alcohol maybe one time in our life that we did. But I think the exposure from the advertising, we see it all over the place. We see it at Walmart. We see it in the convenience stores. We see it on the billboards. We see it in tea commercials. We see it in internet commercials. We see it everywhere so that we know these things. And sometimes when we're so around something, we become desensitized to it. We become not aware that how the danger of it. And in years gone by and throughout the ages, The Church of God has always taken a stand against alcohol. The Church has taken a stand against alcohol. They asked Pastor Harvey, interviewed Pastor Harvey a number of years ago. When I was here, when I was first here, when I was an intern, about 8 years ago, they had a news crew come by and said, hey, there is, I believe it was Corio County, I don't know which one it was, but that, no, it was here in Bell County, they were going to allow the sale of liquor in Walmart. Before then, about 8 years ago, you can only buy it at the liquor store, you couldn't buy it in Walmart. And they were going to allow that. Also, it used to be in this county, not so many years ago, that you couldn't buy alcohol on Sunday. Not 8 years before that, when Pastor Harvey first came, Bell County was a dry county. There was no alcohol sold in this county in memory of many people that have lived that long. But now, what we see now, we see that there is alcohol everywhere in our town. Everywhere. There's more bars than you can shake a fist at. And many of the people that are deceived by alcohol are our young soldiers that come in not knowing better, get in with the crowd, and that was the first thing that they do to the new recruits that come. Take them out drinking, try and get them to drink. One of the first they do. Take them to the strip clubs and take them to places of immorality. It's destruction by the bottle. So why is alcohol sinful? Why is it? Well, is a little wine for your stomach okay? The Bible says that. Not talking about alcoholic wine. I'm not going to get into a ton in this message. That's a message for another time. But this morning we can see just from what God's Word says in chapter 20 of verse 1 of Proverbs, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You can't really get around that verse. We can't get around what God thinks about it. Now, some approach this argument with whether it is right or wrong. Now, maybe we change this out. Now, things that are of God are right and things that are of the world are wrong. However, let's put it in a different phrase. Instead of right or wrong, look at what is righteous and then what is sinful. Because we sanitize it a little bit when we call it right or wrong. Because that's just kind of a neutral term. But when we look at something, whether righteous in God's sight or sinful in His sight, that falls into one of two categories. Everything that we do falls into those two categories. There is no activity that is immoral, meaning that it doesn't matter what I do. There is no such thing. That is the lie of the devil, that these things are just immoral. What I do, what I say, it doesn't matter. It's neither right nor wrong. You know who you sound like? You sound like a university professor. That's what they say today. It's not right or wrong. It's neither good or bad. It's just a little of everything. It's okay. It's neutral. There's no such thing as neutral with God. No such thing as it could be good or bad. It is either right or wrong. Now, there's right things that can be done the wrong way. Amen. We can be rebuking someone, but not in a wrong and hate way. It makes it wrong. It makes it sinful. Because we're not being kind to the brethren or kind to people. Not showing forth the love of Christ. Not showing forth the fruits of the Spirit. By the way, if we're not showing forth the fruits of the Spirit, we're sinning. If we're not growing in Christ, we're sinning. We're disobeying commands of God. What is the command of Christ in John 15? To abide in Christ and abide in the vine and to grow. If we're not growing, we're not fulfilling the command of God. So, Pastor, I thought you were talking about alcohol. We are. It's not whether it's right or wrong. It's whether it's righteous or sinful according to God. Many churches are surrendering their pulpit standards in the area of alcohol. They justify it. They allow it. Are they right or wrong? Well, what does the Bible say? We looked at what Proverbs 20, verse 1 says. It says, you are foolish, you're deceived by it. In Proverbs, you fall into two areas. You are either wise or foolish. You're either a heathen, or a son of Belial, or a right man. One or two, the other. They didn't say there was a neutral man in the book of Proverbs. You're either righteous or a son of Belial. Either you're wise or you're foolish. And many people have been fooled and duped and deceived by alcohol. And that it's okay just to drink a little bit socially. I've met too many Christians that think social drink is okay. I'll never forget when I first got here and we had established, we had standards in the church, but put them in writing. And I'll never forget that. It was a January meeting. It was our children's workers meeting and all the people, the ministries of the church and music and things like that. And then I put that in writing. And then after I had that meeting, I had someone march right to me. It was a lady. They're not in the church. They've been gone from the church. Most people probably don't know who they are. But a lady came up to me and marched herself up to me as, you are attacking my family with this. You're singling out my family. She went on. She got really mad, shaking the paper in my face. I said, whoa, what are you talking about? I said, well, you put on here no drinking alcohol. My husband and I, we drink wine every night for dinner. I didn't know that. They've been a member of the church a couple years. I didn't know that. And so I said, well, it's in our church covenant that you're not to be imbibing in alcohol and be a member of this church. It's right in our covenant. Pastor, I didn't know that. We did. Very important part of our church covenant. So that they came to me and said, we're leaving because you singled out our family. I said, well, I haven't singled out anybody. I didn't even know you're in that. Well, I know now, I'm sorry, it's not to single anybody, but this is the stand that we take because God's against it. I said, we'll show you some scriptures. I don't interested in what God's word says. I'm not interested. I know what it says. I said, well, don't you know? Oh, I know what it says. Wouldn't listen. And they left because of this issue right here. And I was sorry to see them go, but when people don't want to stand with God and his word, some people go their own way. But look at Proverbs 23 and verse number 31. Proverbs 20 and verse 31. You are foolish if you're deceived by it. Many people are deceived by it. They're duped by it because it's acceptable in our culture. Among every class, among every people, it is an acceptable thing. I was out visiting, I think it was with Brother Coe a couple months ago, and we were out visiting on Monday. And we were just walked to a group of gentlemen sitting there, and they were all drinking beer. And I said, hey, you know, all this we'll do. We go to church on Sunday morning, come home, eat lunch, and drink beer. Didn't Jesus turn water into wine? And that's what they did. And this guy who said to me was completely drunk. And it's a sad thing. Very sad thing. I said, well, that's not the type of wine that Jesus was making there. And there's all kinds of scripture about that. But it says here, Proverbs 23:31. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Wine, now if you look at grape juice, and like especially our Welch's grape juice, we like that, most grape juice, when it is new and fresh pressed, it is purple. Or not a more of a lender color. But fermented wine, when it becomes fermented and strained, it turns red. So that's why we have red wine. It's alcoholic wine. And so what does the Bible say? Don't even look at it, lest you be tempted with it. Don't look at it. And I said, well, is this for everyone? Book of Proverbs is for everybody. Amen. It's for everybody. Also, look at Proverbs 31 and verse 4. And you would think that the book of Proverbs has the most to say about wine. And it does have a lot to say. And it has most to say. But the next book that you would not expect is the book of Isaiah. It has much to say about it. We're going to look at some verses there. Proverbs 31 and verse 14. She is like the merchant ship, stringeth her furred. Oh, wait a minute. Verse 4, sorry. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Now, this is a proverb that was written by Solomon, but it was something that had been taught to Solomon by his mother, Bathsheba. So Lemuel, another name for Solomon, and it is not for kings, it is not for princes drink strong drink. And so, well, that's okay because I'm not a prince and I'm not a king. Well, look at 1 John 3:1. 1 John 3:1. All of us, if we're saved, you are a son of God. Now, God is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So we all have a responsibility of princeship. We are part of the royal household of Christ. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we see him as he is. Now, if you're saved, genuinely saved, you have been adopted into the family of Christ. Another verse calls it the adopted sons. If we're a son of God, then we are a prince or a princess, depending, and that we are in the royal family of God. So if it's not for the royal family, and it's not especially the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that if Jesus had made alcoholic wine and had been giving people alcoholic wine to make them drunk, and then he would be violating two scriptures. This scripture in Proverbs 31 verse 4, because he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the King of the Jews, that if he was doing that, he was violating scripture. Also, he would be violating another scripture not to be among wineskins. Those that are drinking and not to be around them. So he would be playing two scriptures. Therefore he sinned and therefore he can't be our Savior. So dismantled That false premise that is taught in many churches, two verses. So, pastor, you need more verses than that. Why? Isn't one enough? One verse enough. Verse, look at Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 22. So far, we're not seeing strong drink in a positive light, but we'll continue on. Maybe we'll find one. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 22. Woe on them that are mighty to drink wine and of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Wow, that's a real positive thing, isn't it? That those that are strong and mighty, it takes their strength away, and those that are righteous, it takes their righteousness away. That's not a good thing. Well, let's continue on. As a pastor, we got to keep an open mind. Look at Isaiah chapter 24 and verse 9. Isaiah 24 and 9. Isaiah 24 verse 9. Shall not drink wine with a song. Strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. What's the truth here? It's not as enjoyable as it appears. Always, not always how to describe it. You watch the beer ads, they're always having a great time. You know, especially the Budweiser ads in the summertime. They're all on the beach, they're having their beer, and they're having a great time, and they're laughing, and you don't see any of them puking their guts up afterwards. You don't see any of that. It's so great and wonderful, having a great time, having a party, having a smile, and all of these things. Now, I grew up, I'm very thankful my parents knew better than this. They knew what the Word of God said. Never once saw a drop of alcohol in our house. Not once. Not one time. And my dad was very strong in not allowing anybody else to bring it in. I'll never forget that. And that my sister, we had the it was a rehearsal dinner. It was a reception. It was a rehearsal dinner in our backyard in a tent. And then my uncle decided he wanted to bring a six-pack of beer. You know, we told everyone, don't bring it. That was interesting. It was nice, but my dad took care of it. And said, no, get it out of here. Put it back in your car, or if you leave it here, you won't have it anymore. It's going. I'll take care of it. And I'll never forget this. There was another time we'd had like a family time, and someone had brought in a beer. My dad had taken it away, and he handed it to me. And he said, go pour it down the drain. I said, Dad, I want, you know, we were don't touch this. I said, go open up, pour it down the drain. He said, pour it down. He said, you smell that? And I said, yes, sir. I said, man, it smelled bad, too. I don't know how people do stuff. It's nasty smelling. Anyway, but I said, don't ever forget that. Don't ever drink it. Don't ever remember that. Whenever you smell that, get away. You know what? And that was ingrained in my mind. And that I always remember, whenever I smell it, I can smell it my way. Because no, to stay away from it. I mean, do you realize if you drive by like these clubs and stuff with your windows open, you can smell it in your car? This stuff is bad stuff. And what it does is bad and wrong. And all the things that I've seen, my extended family, they like to drink. And going to different things, whenever the drinking started at weddings and stuff, we left. But at family reunions, we left. But even then, when they started drinking, it isn't as they make it appear on the commercial. It doesn't look like that. People don't act like that. And we'll get to that in a minute. The Bible says much more of these verses here. But at the moment, let's reflect on what we've read. Every reference to strong drink and alcohol and wine is negative. It only brings suffering and sin. And drinking alcohol is a sin that begets more sin, as we'll see in a moment. Do not be deceived by the prince of the power of the air, Satan, that alcohol is okay for the Christian, or for anyone for that matter. Just a casual search of your Bible will reveal what God says about it and that he's against it. But what must faithful Christians do? We must take a stand against it, we must help those who are caught in it, and we must warn others who are enticed by it. And our soldiers are getting caught in its grip every single day here at Fort Hood. It's a problem. It's a major, major problem. You know, interesting how the government approaches it. They have all kinds of reform programs to help them with alcoholic abuse. How about they put some pressure and start shutting down all the bars they have? Why don't they put some curfews? Oh, we can't do that. You know, this is a free country. I understand it's a free country. But at the same time, there needs to be some preventing of allowing these things to happen to people. We're so concerned about guns, right? Everyone's concerned about taking our guns away. And gun control, more people are killed by drunk drivers in America than tens of thousands of people are killed every single year in America by drunk drivers. We're going to look at the statistics here. Because alcohol is a catalyst for unrighteousness. You notice what they've done at Fort Hood? They stopped putting up the number of days it's been since an accident's happened. Have you noticed that? They just have the lights green or yellow or red, but you don't know what it means. I think they got to resetting the sign. Because only go the longest I've ever seen it is 61 days since I'm here. 2 months before someone was killed in some kind of accident, and it usually has to do with alcohol or drugs of some kind. And that's a sad thing. Well, let's ask a simple question. How many sins can you think that are connected to alcohol? It doesn't take us very long to think about half a dozen. Alcohol is a catalyst for more and more sin. Why? Well, it dulls the senses. It takes away your conscience. It gives you courage to do what is in our evil hearts. It takes away our inhibitions, and it affects everyone this way. No one is immune. All I can, you know, they call holding, you can hold liquor better than other people. No, it affects everyone the same way. The Bible lists out many sins that are associated with drinking. Once again, we're going to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 11. What does alcohol do? Isaiah 5 and verse 11. Isaiah 5:11. We're also going to look at Isaiah 28. Isaiah 5, verse 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may fall strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. It inflames the passions, and inflames the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. It inflames all of that. And that's what we see in Isaiah 28, verse 1. Isaiah 28, verse number 1 says this: Woe to the crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Woe to the crown of what? Pride. Pride makes us go into sin. Look at verse number 7. But they also, having erred through wine and through strong drink, are out of the way. The priests and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They have swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. So we see it inflames the sin. It brings pride. It brings bad judgment and takes away holy thinking. Then Proverbs 21:17 takes away prosperity and will make poor. Oh, isn't that the truth? Proverbs 21, verse 17. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man, and he that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. Takes away prosperity, but isn't that what the sign of prosperity the devil makes it seem like? Hey, you go out and you get to go and have your champagne and all your expensive things, then you are rich, then you're a person that has gained status. Well, maybe you get there, but when you start doing it, you won't be rich for very long. It takes away. There have been many people. I remember when I worked up in Indiana at a church there going to the Good News Rescue Mission in downtown Indianapolis. And there's two things. Those men that were the men's rescue mission, there were women there as well, but we're on the men's side. And I was preaching for them. There's many people there that were working at the mission that had been part, that had come to the mission and gotten saved, and God had given them victory over their problems. And two things. Every single time. You know, a lot of people talk about PTSD. It wasn't PTSD. A lot of people talk about different mental instabilities. It wasn't any mental instabilities. You know what it was? Alcohol was number one. Drugs was number two. And drugs cause mental instability, and alcohol causes mental instability. People that are chronic drinkers for many, many years, it poisons their brain to a point that they can't think clearly until they've detoxed for 6 to 8 months. And they affects their mentality, affects their personality, affects a part of them. And you know what? If you want to cure someone from drinking, go take them to a rescue mission and see what happens to people. And see what it does to them. It is not a pretty sight at all, what it does to people. They've lost business, they lost their job, they've lost their families, they've lost it all. Lost their home, they lost their everything they have. They lost it because they had just gave it all for another drink. But here are the results of alcohol in America today. 29 people die every day in drunk driving accidents. 29. That's just the ones reported, but many more. 30% of people incarcerated for murder in the United States of America were drinking at the time. 40%. 92%, that's a 9 and a 2, 92% of domestic violence calls involve alcohol at some point during the dispute. That's not 30% or 50% or even 60%. 92% in America. 30% of rapes occur when alcohol is involved. More than a million children are abused each year in America. 9 out of 10 of those cases involve alcohol. 90%. This is the legacy of drinking in America. It's staggering. I thought it was thin. I just looked up some of these statistics and I was staggered by 92, 90%, 60%, and it goes on and on and on. Still, it is promoted everywhere you look. Why? These people aren't concerned with your well-being. They're concerned with making money. Here's why. They are concerned with making money. The U.S. government. Why hasn't the government taken away have regulated this more? Because the United States government gets $10 billion a year in alcohol tax revenue alone. $10 billion a year. You know how much these beer companies make? They make $48.5 billion. That's with a B. Billion dollars a year. That's just beer. Liquor makes another $8 to $10 billion a year. B. Not million, billion dollars. And in the next 20 years, it is probable that all these figures put together will equal $1 trillion because it's growing so fast. And in the child abuse area, there are 76 million reported child abuse cases reported in the world, and 2 to 3 million of them occur in the United States alone. Out of that, 90% have to do with alcohol. Don't you think America has an alcohol problem? Lives destroyed. That's just the statistics, but countless more families and people lives have been destroyed. They don't show up in the statistics. America has a problem. Fort Hood has a problem. The divorce rate at Fort is 85%. That's staggering. The national average is a little over 55, almost 60% now. 85% just here in Fort Hood. Most of that has to do with alcohol and abuse due to alcohol. I would like to see how much the tax revenue Bell County gets. Just in this part, just in Killeen, the alcohol that is bought. And that's where all this happens. Going back to that story that they've interviewed Pastor Harvey and they interviewed me about 8 years ago, what I thought about it, and I just told them what I thought. Went on the local news, what I thought about it. What I thought of just what I say now. It hasn't changed any. And there were many other pastors. And it was interesting, the person that was interviewing was a lady, and she said, "You would be surprised how many churches I've contacted that declined to comment." I said, "You would be surprised." And I said, "It was a lot. But we came to your church because we know that your church always has a good opinion about what's going on in the community." Oh, you know, Pat Harvey always has a good opinion from God's Word about what's going on in our community. Amen? So what can we do? Well, we help those who are caught in its clutches. Those who are lost need the Lord. Amen? They need the Lord. The Lord can give them victory over alcohol. The Lord can take it away from them. You know what? People are discouraged in that, "Pastor, you can't promise that to people. You know, you can't promise that to people because God might not take it away." No, maybe they don't want it taken away. "I prayed and God didn't take it away." Do you want it taken away? If you want it gone out of your life, the Lord is able to take it away. Whole ministries are founded upon this. Look at Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25. "And a testimony of my own mother." I don't think she would care if I shared this. Sorry, Mom, if you want people to know this. But she got saved at 18 years old, and she had gotten involved in drinking and doing different things like that. She had gotten involved in smoking, and after she got saved, a few years after she got saved, she realized that she was sinning by smoking, she was sinning by doing these things. She prayed, "Lord, will you take it away from me?" And she never picked up a cigarette again. Never picked up alcohol again. Never touched it. Never wanted to. Is it the Lord that for me? I believe the Lord can do it for anyone that truly wants that. Lester Roloff built a whole ministry on this. That it wasn't the drugs and the psychoanalysis and the psychiatry and psychology. They don't have the answer. They're very, very adamant that they don't have the answer. They know that. Some will say, well, we have it. But if they're really honest, a lot of them will say that they don't have the answer. They just try to help people the best they can. But we have the answer. But do we show it to people? Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost. Able to save from their sin, except the sin of drinking, except the sin of drugs, except the sin of bad. No, to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Also, look at Romans 8:37. Romans 8:37. If you look at the book of Romans, it's all over the book of Romans, all through it, how if we're bound to the chains of sin, and we're imprisoned by sin, and we're addicted to sin, that we can be set free by the power of God. Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life, that death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that includes alcohol. And that includes drugs. That if we're genuine, as the Lord, I love you, I don't want this getting in the way anymore, he'll give victory over it. But Pastor, we can't do that. Because what if it doesn't work? Then you don't have faith in God. You don't have faith in his word. We need to stand against those who would also allow alcohol in our community. We need to stand against it. You know, most of the citizens of Maine don't go to the town council meetings. That's where the liquor licenses are approved there. And all of them pass uncontested. Not one person saying a word about what it's doing to our community. We need to stand against that. We need to also to tell people the Bible says about it. Teach our children the dangers of alcohol. Teach our children the results of alcohol. Teach our children how terrible it is. Teach our soldiers what the results are. Share with them how wonderful their life can be in Christ without alcohol. We don't need that stuff. We don't need the devil brew. Oh, Pastor, that's what people back in the day used to say. And guess what? It's true. And it's still true. Alcohol is straight pit of hell. And all it does is bring unrighteousness, it brings pain, it brings misery, and every person, when they get down to the end of their life, they're broken, and they're a drunk, and they've lost everything, they never say, man, I'd do it all over again. But they say, I wish I had never started. Destruction by the bottle. Now by the hand today. You can go now, you can go to local Chipotle and get a little small bottle of wine with your burrito. I don't eat there anymore. Won't be a part of that. And you wonder how a place like the Daiquiri Express down on Fort Hood Street, that you can go and get an alcoholic beverage right through the drive-thru in your car, and the technicality of the law has to have a little piece of tape over it. And we have crusades against drunk driving. Right? A little counterintuitive, don't you think? And we have drive-through beer places. Hester, I never seen it until I came to Texas. Have the beer barn. You drive through, don't even have to get out of your car. You can pick up your Bud Light, Miller Light, anything you want. Don't drink until you get home. Shame, shame if you do. Everybody knows, we all know people, don't we? Right? We know how the human heart is and human mind is. We want to save people from drunk driving. Don't drink and drive. And all these, they spend all this money. But then they allow it to continue because of this. Isn't that what the world's about? Making money? About making, doing what people, what feel good? We need to tell people what the Bible says. And let's ask God for power and boldness to share the gospel. Men will always want alcohol if they have no. Men will always want something to deaden their conscience if there is nothing to save them. And men will always be enslaved to it until they come to knowledge of the saving power of Christ. So let's share the gospel. How do we combat alcohol and alcohol abuse? Not just that, just alcohol drinking, period. We focus on the abuse part of it. Let's focus on all of it. Because those people didn't start off abusing it, did they? They just started off having one every once in a while. Whenever they went out to a party or they went out with some friends. And then it got worse and worse and worse. You know why a lot of churches don't take a stand on it? Because the pastors are drinking the most. A lot of them. A lot. Let's ask God for power and boldness to share the gospel. And one of the colleges that has taken a weak stand on this in the recent years is Bob Jones University. In the last 10 years has the one, I don't know if he teaches there anymore. I don't think he does anymore. Because the school came out and said, we don't accept this because he had wrote a whole book on why drinking's okay. And then my pastor wrote a whole other book. It's not. Amen. And they were, and the university was selling a book on their website in their bookstore saying, hey, it's okay what the Bible says about that, and had what did a double talk around God's word. Like I said, if you have the double talk around God's word, you're trying to justify something you can't justify. Amen. Only Jesus can bring real hope and comfort. And let's take a stand for righteousness. Love those who are caught up in the terrible thing. Maybe someone here, you're caught up in that. We want to help you. The pastor is going to be mad at me and he's going to get rid of me. No, nope, that's what the devil's telling you. We want to help you. We want to help. If you struggle with this, we want to help you. We want to pray with you. We want to talk to you. We want to give tools from God's word to help. We're not here to run anybody out on a rail. We're here to give hope in God's word. That's what Jesus came to do. Remember, they said of him, he's a publican and sinners. He called a wine bibber. Now, he never violated scripture in that. However, he did minister to those who were caught. And guess what? He saved them. And guess what? They went and sinned no more. Let's take a stand for righteousness. Let's stand and say, as a pastor, you've strengthened my stomach. I'm taking a stand for it. Amen. Maybe you're involved in that. Maybe you're struggling with that. We'd love to pray with you this morning and help you in any way that we can. I know it's a private, personal thing. But we want to help you. But let's pray for those who are caught. Maybe you have a family member that's caught in this. That's destroying their life. You can see it. One of the hardest things to tell an alcoholic is to tell them they need to give up their bottle. Oh, it's not affecting me like that. They're deceived. Oh, I'm different than some different. It won't happen to me that way. They're deceived. But you need to share with them the love of Jesus. And the power of God that he can save them to the uttermost.